Our scripture reading for today comes from Mark chapter 5, verse 24 to 34. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease."
One of the things I like about Mark's gospel is that Jesus is constantly going back and forth across the Sea of Galilee. On one side of the Sea of Galilee is the Jewish side, the side that is comprised mostly basically of Jews, and on the other side of the Sea of Galilee is basically what you might call the unclean side, the Gentile side. But Jesus is going back and forth across the Sea of Galilee and engaging people on both sides of the Sea of Galilee. He's just come back from the unclean side, where he's engaged a man with a demon, a demoniac, but now he's back on the Jewish side, and he is immediately petitioned for an act of healing. Of course, I've always, whenever we hear about these healing narratives in the Bible, these healing narratives that Jesus undertakes, it's important to remember that these healing stories are enacted parables. Jesus is wanting to tell us something about the nature and the character of the kingdom of God. It's not that Jesus is saying that if we have enough faith, then we should expect that we will never endure any suffering or disease or anything like that. But he is saying that if we have faith, we can be assured of the coming kingdom of God, that God's kingdom is indeed something that Jesus has come to initiate, and that the kingdom of God is something that we can trust that God will bring about. And he's saying that this is what the kingdom of God is like. Every time Jesus heals, he is saying this is what the kingdom of God is like. In the kingdom of God, there will be no more sickness. In the kingdom of God, there will be no more disease. In the kingdom of God, there will be no more social isolation, no more death, none of those things. And so Jesus is constantly demonstrating the coming of the kingdom. And so we're not surprised that people flock to Jesus, especially the desperate, especially the vulnerable, especially those who are at the end of the rope. These are the people who are constantly flocking to Jesus, and that's what we are told in our reading this morning, that a nameless woman comes to Jesus to petition for a healing. Indeed, she interrupts Jesus. Jesus is on his way to attend to the daughter of a very important religious functionary associated with the synagogue. But as he's on his way, he is interrupted by a nameless woman who has the audacity to reach out and touch him, to touch the hem of his garment. I say this woman is audacious because her condition has rendered her ritually unclean. She is ritually unclean, and therefore anyone that she touches also becomes ritually unclean. So this woman is not supposed to touch anyone. She can't even go to the temple. She is basically isolated because of her condition, because of her hemorrhaging, but she is unclean. She's supposed to observe the dictates of social distancing as it was prescribed by the Leviticus codes. But this woman is desperate because she has been sick for a long time. She has been sick for 12 years. For 12 years, she has been hemorrhaging. For 12 years, she has been ritually unclean. For 12 years, she's had to socially distance. She's had to separate herself from the people she cares about, separate herself from the people she loves. She can't be close to anyone. She is socially isolated for 12 whole years. Can you imagine having to socially distance yourself from everyone for 12 years? We could barely last a year before many of us were acting out. But for 12 years, this woman was in need of healing. But no one could heal her. She went to every doctor. She went to every medicine man, every quack, every con man. She spent all that she had for a cure, and no one could heal her. She was still sick, still unclean, still socially isolated, still alone, still desperate. But one day she hears that Jesus is in town and that Jesus can heal, that he has the power of life over the power of death. And she thinks to herself, if I can just get near to him, if I could just get close enough to touch him, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, then maybe I can be healed. I can be healed of my hemorrhaging. I could be healed of my uncleanliness. I can be healed of my social isolation. I can be healed. And so that's what she does. She throws caution to the wind. And as Jesus comes through, she touches the hem of the Lord's garment. And it works. We're told that the woman immediately feels the healing taking place in her body. She could feel the power, the gracious, merciful, compassionate power of God that had been released from Jesus' body. And Jesus could feel it too, and that's what he says, "Who touched me?" Someone has touched me. Who is it that has touched me? And this desperate, unnamed, unclean, socially isolated woman slinks back in fear and trembling because she knows she is the one who has touched him. I think it's significant that even though Jesus is on his way to attend to the gravely ill daughter of a very important leader, he takes the time to engage this woman and to listen to her story. This woman who is sick, this woman who is hemorrhaging, Jesus takes the time to listen to this woman's story. Oftentimes when people are desperate, when they're at the end of the rope, when they're sick, sometimes we don't take the time to listen to them. Sometimes we don't take the time to engage them. Sometimes they feel more and more isolated. But Jesus actually takes the time and he listens to this woman. Probably the first time in a long time that anyone has ever taken the time to listen to her. Probably the first time that anyone has ever taken the time to acknowledge her humanity. And let's face it, in the ancient world, for all intents and purposes, women were considered to be less than human. Women were considered to be people that you didn't take seriously, but this wasn't just any woman. This was an unclean woman, a hemorrhaging woman. And yet Jesus takes the time to engage her and to listen to her, to listen to her story. And I like what the text says. The text says that the woman told Jesus the whole truth about herself. The whole truth. I'm sure that Jesus being Jesus probably knew everything there was to know about this woman already. I'm reminded of that that passage in John's gospel where Jesus meets the woman at the well and he tells her everything there is to know about herself, and she goes running back saying, come and see and hear this man who's told me everything about myself. I'm sure Jesus knew everything about this woman, but this woman still is compelled to tell Jesus the whole truth about herself. Maybe the truth that the woman wanted to make sure that Jesus knew and understood was that after she had touched him, that he too was now ritually unclean. But if that's the case, Jesus doesn't seem to care. He doesn't care about his own uncleanliness. He doesn't seem to care that he has taken this woman's uncleanliness upon himself. What Jesus seems to care about is her. He seems to care more about her healing, about her restoration, about her well-being. And so he listens intently as this woman tells him the whole truth. The whole truth about herself. I don't know if I would have told Jesus the whole truth if it was me. I don't think I would have told him the whole truth. Maybe I would have told Jesus some of the truth. Maybe I would have told him a part of the truth. Maybe I would have told him that truth that didn't implicate me in any way. Or maybe I would have told Jesus that part of the truth that makes me look good, the resume truth, the kind of truth we put on our resumes that makes us look good. But this woman tells Jesus the whole truth about herself. Let's face it, the whole truth can sometimes be complicated. The whole truth can sometimes be messy. It can be embarrassing. The whole truth can sometimes be so painful for us that we sometimes don't want to share the truth with ourselves. But this woman tells Jesus the whole truth. And isn't that part of our human dilemma? On the one hand, we have this deep desire, all of us, to be known. We have this deep desire to be understood. We have this deep desire to share our lives, to invite others in deep down into our lives. But on the other hand, we also are fearful that people might discover the whole truth about ourselves. They might discover the whole truth about our fears, the whole truth about our weaknesses, the whole truth about our vulnerabilities, the whole truth about our doubts and our insecurities, the whole truth that maybe we don't have it all together. And sometimes that's what we want people to believe, that we have it all together. We don't want to be judged harshly by people. And so we are guarded. We don't want people to know the whole truth. But this woman tells Jesus the whole truth. Then, of course, that issue is trust. Do we trust one another enough to be vulnerable with the telling of our truth? Do we trust? In my first church in Atlanta, we used to have a time of joys and concerns where people would come and ask for prayer, whatever joys and concerns that they might have had. And this was a congregation that was solidly middle class, a middle class congregation. And lots of people used to stand up and ask for prayer, give their joys and concerns. But I always noticed that most of the prayer requests were the kinds of requests that reflected favorably on the person asking for prayer. People would get up and ask, you know, say, pray for me, please. Please pray for me because, you know, I'm about to defend my dissertation. Or please pray for me because I have an addition an audition with the Atlanta Symphony. You know, it's one of those kinds of prayers, prayers that, you know, I'm sure people were sincere in wanting prayer for those kinds of things. But I knew that there were people who were going through messy situations, and rarely would they stand and ask for prayer for those kind of things, because they didn't want anyone else to know that, you know, they were, their lives were was messy or frayed or whatever. But then there was, you know, Margaret Benton. Margaret Benton was a lady in her 80s, lived right across the street from the church, and Margaret Benton would always ask for a prayer. She would stand to give her prayer request, and it would always be more on the concerned side, and she would always pray for things like, you know, please pray for me because my grandson has been arrested again. Or please pray for me because my daughter has had to go back into drug rehab again, and people would sometimes cringe. But she was willing to be vulnerable. She was willing to share the truth, the whole truth about the kinds of things that she was experiencing. She was willing to trust God with the truth, and she was willing to trust her fellow brothers and sisters in Christ with the truth. And so she wasn't afraid to share the whole truth. And that was the case with this woman in our text this morning. She shared with Jesus the whole truth about herself. She trusted the Lord with the truth, her truth. I know we're having a lot of discussion, a lot of debate in our society right now about the truth, about whether or not we should share the whole truth of our nation, the whole truth of our nation's history, the whole truth about ourselves as a nation. Should we tell the whole truth with succeeding generations? Should we teach the whole truth about our nation in our schools? Should we share the whole truth? Even some seminaries, I understand, are grappling with this. Should we tell the whole truth about our racial relations? Should we tell the whole truth about discrimination? Should we tell the whole truth about us as a nation? Should we tell the whole truth? This woman isn't afraid to tell the whole truth because she knows that somehow her healing depends on it. Her healing depends on her being willing to share even the most painful episodes in her life. None of us, those of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, should ever be afraid of the truth. No matter how painful. We should never be afraid of the truth, because the truth reveals what we already know, that we human beings are broken people, we are sinful people, we are people who don't have it all together, we are people who often fail to live into that vision that God has for each and every one of us. We should never be afraid to own up and face up to the truth, no matter how painful. Every Sunday, we have a prayer of confession, as we had this Sunday. And I know, I've discovered that, you know, there are some people who don't like the prayers of confession because they think the prayer of confession is such a downer. But we have that prayer of confession to remind us again of the truth about ourselves, that we human beings often fall short of the glory of God, that we human beings are not perfect, that we human beings sometimes fail to be the people that God has called us to be. And so we are mindful of coming to grips with the truth about ourselves. And that's what this woman does. She tells Jesus the whole truth. The whole truth about her social isolation. The whole truth, perhaps, of the way that people have treated her. The whole truth of her own complicity in the things that have befallen her. She wants Jesus to understand the whole truth, because she trusts him. She knows that Jesus has the power of life over the power of death. She knows that Jesus is the person who is ushering in the kingdom of God. And so she's not afraid to share her truth. I like what Jesus says to her. He commends her for her trust, for her openness, for the trust that she has in him. But then he conveys to her the truth about herself. He doesn't call her unclean woman. He doesn't call her isolated woman. He doesn't call her hemorrhaging woman. He doesn't call her sick woman, but he calls her daughter. Daughter, he says, daughter, your faith has made you well, daughter. And that's what each and every one of us need to hear this morning, that we are sons and daughters of God. That's the truth about who you are. Whatever might have happened in your past life, whatever you might hear that seeks to try to have you believe that you are something less than what you know that you are, know that you are a son and daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus says, daughter. That is the whole truth about who you are. You are my daughter. You are a daughter of the living God. And I hope that's the whole truth that you take away here this morning. That you are a precious son and daughter of God. The God who has undertaken to redeem the whole world. The God who has undertaken to heal the whole world. That you are a son and daughter of God who is called to be an agent of redemption in the midst of this world. It's the whole truth. The whole truth of who you are. You belong to God. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't belong to skin color. You don't belong to ethnicity. You don't belong to class. You don't belong to money. You don't belong to lack of money. You belong to God. And that's where you will always be, close to the heart of the loving God who has called you and has already undertaken to heal us. It's the whole truth. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have called us to be your people. You have called us to be your sons and daughters. How easily we forget that. We sometimes listen to the voices around us, the voices that tell us that we belong to them. But you have been called us to be your people, your sons and your daughters. Lord, we ask that you empower us through your Holy Spirit to be people who are not afraid to share the truth about who we are, to share the truth about our brokenness, to share the truth about our fears, our vulnerabilities, our insecurities, that we don't have to be afraid to be honest with ourselves and honest with one another, that we can trust you and we can trust our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, because the greatest truth that we have about ourselves is that we belong to you. And so we ask, Lord, that you continue to help us to believe that and take that deep down inside of our hearts. And we ask all of these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.